You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? How'd you like that delay? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's not even what I say. I say, what is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Yeah. And I just didn't do that today.
Well,
what is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. There we go.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. It was just kind of like a little, I was going to say reverse, but it wasn't. So, all right, here we go. Well, we're back and we're here today. I don't know why I have my Bible on the stage right now, because right now this is not going to be very spiritual. Right now it is time to rate that crumble cookie. Here we go. Let's get it. All right, friend.
I'll tell you this.
Yep.
We were talking the other day. What a great segment.
Oh, like, my God.
Crumble cookie
so
is just so good for rate that. So many layers to it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Tough choice this week.
Ooh.
Why are you putting your phone away? Oh,
I'm not.
Tough choice this week.
Okay.
But that's all I'll say.
Okay. Definitely, definitely Trace Leche's cake. That I'm just kidding. We got chocolate chip cookie, Trace Leche's cake, lemon cake, a Bonafide pie, which that could be interesting. I see it. Oh, I see why it's so hard. Oh. Chocolate crumb featuring Oreo, classic peanut butter, Bonafide pie. Why? Why? Oh my gosh.
It's a tough week.
This
you're two in a row. This is for three in a row.
This is for three in a row.
High stakes. Rate that.
You know what, man? I'm not going to. What does that mean, featuring Oreo?
I want to help you so much.
Does that just mean Oreo is. All right, tell me this. Is the cookie featuring Oreo? Are there Oreos throughout the cookie? Or is it just some dusting on top?
I want to help you so much.
No, I'm actually asking. Is it
a rich chocolate
cookie made with Oreo cookie pieces topped with smooth vanilla cream cheese frosting and even a.
Ooh. I'll tell you this. I typically don't.
Hold on. No. Wait, are you sure it's okay to say this?
Because yeah.
I don't want to ruin it.
I don't think it's going to help you too much.
Okay, go ahead.
I typically don't look at the descriptions of the cookie.
All right, yeah, that's not going to help me too much. Man, this is so tough. These are, I'll be honest with you. I'm not even ruling out the Bonafide pie thing just because it's so different and like unique. I'm going to say you probably didn't go for that, but it's definitely possible that you did. This, it's normally narrowed down to two, but this week it's
tough week.
This week it's there's
the,
three.
By the way, the three are the Bonafide pie, the chocolate
crumb and Oreo, and then the classic peanut butter. You really like peanut butter and Oreo. I know that you like both of those things. I kind of feel like the Oreo, it's tough because the chocolate crumb featuring Oreo is kind of like, it could be basic, but it also could be really good.
I really feel like you can get there if you talk it out.
I also do too. The classic peanut butter is, I kind of feel like, oh my God, this is so tough. Because I could totally see you going for that one. I don't think you did the pie. I just don't. I think that you were tempted, and I think that you thought about it because it's so different and unique. But you didn't. Oh, you just went with the Oreo. I'm going to go for it.
Man, you hate to see it.
Oh, my God.
You hate to see it.
I'm happy you got this one.
Yeah.
It was the right choice.
I looked at the flavors this morning, and I was like, what the heck is that?
That's a good choice. Listen, I like it.
I'll tell you this.
Oh, I like it.
What is it?
It's a chilled buttery graham pie cookie topped with gooey caramel, swirled banana buttercream, whipped cream.
Oh.
Yeah, it's banana. That's why I didn't think you got it. Because I
probably should have put that together.
So I actually saw a video this week on my Instagram reels of somebody eating a Bonafide pie cookie from Crumble Cookie, but I figured like, oh, it might just be different. And I didn't think that you would get it because there's banana.
I think it's going to be the most fun. The Oreo one would have tasted like
right.
Oreo.
You're
the
right.
Peanut butter one would have tasted like
you're
peanut
right.
butter.
You're right.
And now we have a Bonafide pie.
Okay. Let's do it.
Sorry, man. It's all right. It's, okay. It's a tough job. And this was a tough week. I really thought you were going to get there.
What if we turned it 1 week?
Oh.
I got the cookie.
You get the cookie and I guess.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be fun too.
All right, let's see. This is not really. Okay. Hmm. I need another bite.
I need some more of the frosting.
That's why I'm getting another bite. Ah!
Tough to. Oh, that's why.
The caramel makes it tough to. I just want a little bit of the frosting.
You hate banana.
Yeah, but I didn't even taste it.
This is really good. Wow.
Do you taste banana?
No, a little bit, vaguely. The banana is very discreet, but something that I saw on the person that tried this cookie that I completely agree with. The banana is real. It doesn't taste like banana Laffy Taffy. It tastes like real banana that you would actually like eat. And at least I think it does. And the caramel is really nice. I wish there was more banana flavor, to be honest with you, being that that's supposed to be the frosting.
That's what I'm telling you right now. I don't know if I get any banana, which like for me, really? I'm not really mad about.
Right, right.
But I don't know. I think that for me, the most dominant flavor is the caramel.
I would agree. The most dominant flavor is the caramel. If I had to rank flavor profiles in order, I'm getting caramel first, I'm getting graham cracker second, and I'm getting banana third. That's what's happening here. This is a good cookie.
It is good.
This is a good cookie. It's fun. It's different. It's
different.
Really should have guessed it because it's, you know, fun and different. Why wouldn't you pick it? Okay.
You know what stinks for you?
What's that?
Now you just have to be mad about that until next week.
Yeah, I do. I'm just not happy. But this is a good cookie. It's not my favorite cookie in the world. There are better ones out there. But he's doing pretty good. The cookie.
Oh yeah.
He's doing pretty good.
I'm like kind of underwhelmed and just like not really blown away either way.
Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of where I'm at.
Would
it's
you
not
the whole
it's
thing?
Not bad. No.
I would.
But this might be one of the outliers where I wouldn't eat the whole thing, but I'm going to give it over a 5.
Okay. I would eat the whole thing because I do like the flavor profiles.
It's not bad.
You know what it kind of tastes like texture-wise? Not taste-wise, texture-wise. You ever have those little shortbread cookies that are filled with fudge in the middle?
I'd have to see it.
They're like Stella Dora cookies. People in the audience... No one's here today. People that are watching the podcast, if you know the Stella Dora cookies that are the fudge cookies that have the fudge in the middle and the shortbread on the outside, it is the same texture profile as this, except caramel in the middle instead of that. The frosting is too light for me. I think that's supposed to be like a light. I think it's supposed to simulate pie in that way.
I've never had those.
Yeah, those. I think it's supposed to simulate pie in
well,
that way.
Well, it was a Bonafide pie.
Right. It's supposed to simulate pie in that way. However, I would like a little bit more frosting on the cookie to be able to get a little bit of a better assessment of what it tastes like.
I kind of feel like there's a good amount of frosting. You just don't really like it. Doesn't really hit you.
It's light. It's light. It's airy. Yeah. Maybe because they're trying to counteract the denseness of the caramel. I have a rating in mind and I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1, 7.
6.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go lower.
No, that's the thing is like, it's not bad. It doesn't taste bad. It's just kind of like, it's there.
And it's there.
It's good, but like, you know.
It doesn't reach that good status. It doesn't reach that it's 8 and above good status. It doesn't say that.
For me, it doesn't even scream 7.
That's, you know, it's a matter of opinion, but you know. It's just like, you know, Taco Bell's pretty good too. Like, you know what I mean?
No, it's not
like,
a matter of opinion.
I honestly love the frosting.
I like how it looks.
Yeah, I love the frosting.
Yeah.
Like, I actually, like, when I got the banana and I really enjoyed it, I would say if you have the opportunity to get this cookie, you should get it just to try something a little bit different and a little unique. But I wouldn't say to, like, go run and get it. Like, last week was, like, run and get it for me. It was like, no, you need to go run and get it. This week, it's like, I would not run and get it.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can leave it on the shelf and get one of the ones that you know you're going to really like.
I think we would have liked the Oreo one better.
And the peanut butter. Are you not that big of a peanut butter
guy? I am a big peanut butter guy, but I just feel like I was looking at the cookie and it would have to be the right texture because it looked like it had potential to be a dry peanut butter cookie.
I'll tell you this. If they ever do a combination of the two, and you give me a little bit of Oreo and a little bit of peanut butter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Oreo peanut butter is elite. Like cookies and cream with peanut butter frosting.
Oh.
Dude, that's crazy.
Can we submit a request?
Yeah, we should. But also, the 100th episode of this podcast is coming up very soon, and we have something special planned for you guys. So you guys need to make sure to tune in for that. How many away are we? Like two?
I believe that this is going to be episode 97.
Okay, so we're three away after... Yeah, 98, 99, 100. We're three away. So, wait, no, that would be two away. And then the third one. Okay, never mind. That's not relevant.
It's coming soon.
It's coming soon. I think I might have to on Sunday when I...
This is 96, sorry.
96, okay. I think on Sunday I might have to find a recipe for cookies and cream peanut butter cookies.
Sounds phenomenal.
Or I can just buy Oreos and peanut butter at the store, but the other
one... That'll get the job done.
It'll still get the job done. It's really good. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Rate That Crumble Cookie and a little sneaky surprise for you on the next one. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Real Reactions. we just talked about it before we started this segment. I was like, we got to like get like some like, I don't know if he's going to have for this one or the next one, but
this one,
I'm going to start introducing Real Reactions like that. And it's going to hit it with a dun dun at the end. I don't know how he's going to do it. Whatever he does, I'm sure it's going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to whatever he comes up with that. But yeah, it'll be good. I have Ben with me today. We're going to do Real Reactions a little differently today. And I hope that you guys will enjoy it. What about sound? The sound, they'll still be able to hear it? Like, how are we going to do that? Okay, cool. Yeah. So we're going to actually watch the reels on Ben's phone, and Ben's going to, like, kind of put them up somehow. Ben, you explain what you're doing. I don't know why I'm explaining it.
You're going to see it on the screen and hear it in the same time and way that we are.
Awesome. I'm glad that I had you explain it, because I'd be here for five more minutes explaining the process of how this was going to work. All right. Well, that's what we're going to do. Today, I'm not going to do a teaching. I'll do a mini teaching at the end. Very, very mini teaching at the end. But I think I will at least. Maybe not, honestly. I don't know. It depends on what time it is. I got something else that I need to do this evening. But we're going to react to some reels. And some of these reels, unlike before, some of these reels I have not seen before. So it's going to be a real-time reaction. To some of these things. And then also, I'm going to do Bible teachings within these real reactions. You guys know how real reaction works. Some of them I might just laugh at and we might just move on. I have no idea. So let's see. Here we go. Let's go with our first one, Ben.
The first one you sent me?
Whatever you want to do. I don't care. Any order.
Oh, wow. Look
have at fun. Me. Liberty, okay. Bro.
I like this one to start.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, and before we play this one.
Yep.
The guy that's in this video, his name is Cliff. He is a pastor of a church, but he's also a really great like mind of the faith. And he does some really good jobs defending the faith on different things. He goes to college campuses and he defends the faith there. He's actually a pastor in New Canaan, Connecticut, which is about an hour from here.
Is he really?
He is, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He has a church in New Canaan, Connecticut, and he goes to Yale a lot and debates people on the word of God. And I'll tell you what, he gets people's rear ends, bro.
Oh, yeah.
He does.
Oh, for sure.
He'll like ask them a question. And then just like sets him up. I'm like, dude, this guy is brilliant. So he has some great stuff to say. I actually don't remember the fullness of what he says here. So let's get into it. Let's see.
I used to think that all sin was equal. I was wrong. Jesus says that all sin separates me from God, but all sin is not equal in its ethical implications. It is far worse to be a thief and steal from people than it is to be greedy. And yet greed separates me from God the same way stealing separates me from God. Jesus Christ bled and died on a cross and forgave a man who was a criminal who was hanging beside him. And Jesus Christ also offered forgiveness to the Pharisees, who lived very culturally good lives. They were very fine people. And yet Jesus pointed out that pride, arrogance, is at the heart of sin, and it can be expressed in a Pharisee who's very righteous, but who's righteous for the wrong reason and very self-righteous, or it can be expressed in a criminal. We're all broken. Life is about healing. The grace of God is the glue.
That's all. I don't really care to, I don't care to hear his opinion. I don't remember what he said, but I've seen a couple of his other videos, the guy that comes after, and I think it might be his son or like, or something
like
that.
Looks like his son.
But I'm not sure about some of his takes on things. I didn't really want to get into it. I felt like Cliff covered it really, really well. I think that something that he hits really, really good at, and he does really well, is he balances the idea that all sin equally separates me from God. Romans 3:23 is clear that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does sin do? Sin separates me from God. Sin is the reason why Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden, right? They sinned, and so God cast them out of the garden. Why? Sin separated them from God. It brought them out of that place that they were meant to be in. And something that he also hits on, he hits on the fact that all sin equally separates me from God, but he also hits on regardless of the sin, I can also be restored to God. Yep. And so it's a really good balance, but I want to hear your reaction. What do you think about how he was saying that all sin equally separates me from God, but the idea that different sins are ethically more wrong than others?
I think that the way that he described it was so well said. And like would make sense to somebody who like was hearing it for the first time, and like somebody who maybe doesn't like know the Bible or understand the Bible. And if you were to tell that person, hey, like all sin is equal, they'd be like, how is, you know, lying equal to like, you know, killing somebody? Like, how are those two things equal? And he does a really good job of explaining how they're all equal in that they separate us from God, but they're differently like weighted, and they make an impact on society and make an impact on our lives in a different way.
Right. Cause it's like in the eyes of God, God sees it, and God sees it and goes, it's sin. It's against my word. Sin separates people from myself. That's how God sees it. At the same time, something my dad said, Pastor Frank, is that different sin has different ramifications, right? Mm-hmm. There are natural ramifications for sin as well. Whereas if I sleep around, right, I would be more likely to get an STD. And really and truly, there are other minor cases that someone could get an STD, but mainly it's through, you know, having sex with a bunch of different people and stuff like that. And so there are natural ramifications and consequences for that sin. And that's the same way as it works with other sins as well, that ethically speaking, we look at somebody and we say, you know, so, okay, this person is a pedophile. Yes, that should be punished more than someone that told a lie, significantly more. Somebody should be in jail that was a predator upon children. And whereas somebody that told a lie about the fact that they, you know, did their homework last night, they shouldn't be thrown in prison. There is different ethics in which we have to weigh and understand as well. But we do get that all sin is equally wrong before God. One area that I would disagree with him on, that he touches on, and I would understand it if he meant it in this context, but I never like to say that we're all broken people unless we'd say it with the understanding that before Christ, we're all broken people. Yeah. And the reason why is because I don't like songs that talk about like how there's a Casting Crown song that says, what if we were just broken together? And it's, what if we were never meant to be complete? What if we were just broken together? I'm like, actually, no. Christ made me complete.
Yeah.
Christ made me free. Christ made me complete. And in him, I find the fullness of completion in my life. In me, I find my being. In him, I live and move and breathe. And so Christ has made me complete. Prior to coming to Christ, I was broken, separated from God. But when I came to him, he made me complete.
Yeah. The other thing that I was just thinking of as you were talking, he hit on it and you hit on it, is that because there are like seriously broken people who have done like seriously like, you know, bad stuff, obviously in the context of all we're talking about, what like an encouragement and how awesome, like for somebody, you know, whatever, you go to like a prison and for somebody there that's in for life and they've done terrible things, what an encouragement for them that, hey, even though you've done all these terrible things,
right,
in the same way that God forgave me of lying, he'll forgive you of all the things that you've done. That's awesome.
I was talking to and that's a really good point. I was talking to this lady, and I was having a conversation with her, and something she was having a really hard time understanding is the grace of God, because she was asking us, you have this person that goes to your church that, she was saying, I know that you have this person that goes to your church, 'cause somehow she knew them, that she was involved with like a teenager, and she's like, you know, an adult or whatever. And was like, how do you like, how is that okay? Is basically what she said. And the Lord really helped me in the moment. But, and to be honest with you, it took me aback for a second because I had to think. But the first thing is, it's not okay that somebody does something like that. It's not, the gospel doesn't make it okay that for somebody's behavior, you know, doesn't justify people's behavior and actions and all that type of stuff. That's not what the gospel is. But the great thing about the gospel is the same God that took Paul, who the Bible says was muttering or murderous threats unto Christians, who was somebody that had a heart of a murderer and somebody that was opposed to God, somebody that was a sorcerer, we see in Acts chapter 8, like I preached on yesterday, a sorcerer, somebody that practiced witchcraft, people that have done vile things. It said, the Bible says that Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors, people that have done vile things, immoral things. The gospel is still for them regardless. And even people that have done despicable things that we know of, we still say the gospel is for you. Now, does that mean that, you know, somebody should be, you know, allowed to, you know, work with kids if they have some type of past where they've, you know, done those things? There should be parameters that are set up lest somebody fall into a temptation again. We have to be mindful of those types of things. And granted, I want to be clear in that, in this specific situation, and this was a while ago that I had this conversation with somebody. I don't want anyone to think that we have, you know, child predators running around all over the place and stuff like that. These are people that are being, that are prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and have since come out of that after, you know, having situations that were, you know, involved in stuff like that, that the grace of God has transformed their life, and that's not the person that they were anymore. So I want to be clear about that so that everybody understands and we're all on the same page. But this is the grace of God. This is the good news of the gospel, that you are not the same you after you give your life to Christ. So like the person that was the drug addict, or the person that was the drug dealer, or the person that was the immoral woman or man, when they give their life to Christ, the Bible says that the old is gone and all things become new. So the old them actually is not even the person I'm concerned with anymore. I'm concerned with the new person that they become in Christ.
That's awesome. And like that understanding makes it so much easier to like accept that, and to like invite people like that to church, and to share the gospel with people who have, you know, done some bad stuff. They're not going to be the same after they give their life to Christ. They're going to be different. And that old stuff, like, you know, still happen. There's still like some things that might, you know, need to be put in place, whatever. But that old them is no longer who they are now. They're new in Christ, completely new in Christ. That's so amazing.
I believe it's in one of the gospels. I know it's in one of the gospels. It's in, I want to say it's like the third chapter of, I feel like Matthew's not right because that's earlier. I feel like Luke's not right. I feel like it's either Mark or John. Nicodemus. What is that text again? Is it John 3 or something like that? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
John 3.
Awesome. So in John 3, Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus, And Nicodemus says, you know, what do I need to be saved? What do I need to do? And Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus doesn't get it. He's like, wait, I can't crawl back into my mother's womb. He says, and you could read this account. I know I'm not reading it right now. I'm referencing it. But he's like, you want me to crawl back into my mother and then let her give birth to me again? And Jesus is like, no. He's talking about a spiritual rebirth in the sense that a new you is born, a new spirit is born on the inside of you. And so the old you really does die. I don't hold the old life of somebody against them. Now, this doesn't mean that, again, I put people in a position to be tempted to go back into their old life, because there is temptations that people face. I'm not going to put someone in that position to be doing that. I would be very cautious to, I don't know why I would ever do something like this, actually, because I don't believe in that. I was going to say I would be very cautious to send somebody that is a former alcoholic into a bar to surround themselves with alcohol to be able to preach the gospel. I guess the way that I would put that, maybe outside of a bar.
Right.
Outside of a bar to wait that's for good. People to come out to share the gospel. I still wouldn't do that for someone that's an ex-alcoholic unless I really knew that they had matured in the Lord and had strong, firm foundation where they were not a new believer, that's somebody that knew the word of God and could stand firm against temptation. So,
amen.
Yeah, great. That was a great video. That provoked some good that's stuff it. That people need to hear. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Actually, I don't know why I'm taking it. You take it.
This one's a little bit lighter and a little bit funnier.
Yeah.
Hold on, I gotta do this.
I need to hear it a little better.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But. There's not a whole lot of talking in this one. That's he wasn't having it.
Can I just comment on this? Did you see, like, the furry get offended as well at the end a little bit?
Yeah,
sure. Like, time out 1 second. You're going to go around like a fool with a cat costume on, with a big old mask, and a little three-year-old sees it and goes, wait, this isn't normal, and walks away. And, like, did you see, like whoever, girl, boy, animal, whatever they identify as, but we know girl or boy. Yeah. Did you see? Look at the end. It's like... He's like, or she, I don't even know what it is. I can't even say it. I don't know what it is. Either a boy or girl. I can tell you that.
The furry's looking at him like, what?
Like, what? Like, you have a problem with this? Look. did they go like this? Put their hands on their head? Does it look like they like went like
maybe,
this?
Maybe.
Like, it's like, what are you upset about? Like, you are a grown human being wearing an animal costume.
Yeah. You just are. Like, it's going to scare little children.
Like, imagine we had kids stuff and, like, Rusty came out and the kids started crying, which has happened before. Yeah. And the person in the Rusty costume just gets livid. Like, I just like can't
somebody,
believe it.
Somebody just goes to Stop and Shop in the Rusty costume. Little kid starts crying.
I'll be honest with you. There was a girl that used to go walk around my Bible school that was would wear a furry costume, but she wouldn't wear the head. So she just had a body costume.
It's almost worse.
And yeah, it was really weird. And like, I'd be like, I'd say hi. And be like, cause she'd be like walking past me. And I was like confused at like what was happening.
Yeah.
It was, I'm pretty sure she was wearing a cat costume walking dogs.
That's ironic.
Yeah. I don't really know. How is that legal? How is it legal? You ever see the video of the guy that wore the deer costume that went out and he almost got
heard
shot?
About it. Heard about it.
Insane.
As soon as something like that happens, you don't want to be an animal anymore.
Yeah, for real. They want to be animals with human rights. This backwards world, backwards thinking. I feel sorry for people that are trapped in that delusion in their mind that they think they're really an animal. They need to be set free by God. So, and I believe that God can do that. Next.
Did you know that Jesus helped his friend come out? In John chapter 11, verse 43, this is what it says. Jesus called out in a loud voice saying, Lazarus, come out. You see, Lazarus was locked up in a cold, dark tomb, wrapped in burial cloths, left for dead. That's exactly what so many Christians and so many churches do to LGBT people. They wrap us up and bind us up and tell us that we need to keep our identity, our true self, locked away.
Actual mental gymnastics that you gotta do to get from point A to point Z on that little analogy. And the other thing too is that you are throwing out what God said and you're inserting how you feel to determine not just your reality, but someone else's. How dare you go and tell somebody that your identity is not found in Christ? Christ's blood actually can't cover that. Your identity is found in who you sleep with.
Any of my impact leaders watching this, I like her. I think you should date her. If I like that girl at the end. Obviously male leaders, you know, context of the video, you know,
no doubt.
But, I like her. I think that she did a great job with that. Let's go to John 11. Let's read John 11 for a second. This beautiful passage of scripture where Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, comes down to earth and raises somebody from the dead. Supernaturally, somehow, is about the LGBTQ community. What? And here's the thing. I made it very clear on this podcast many, 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 many times. I do not hate people that are in that community. I don't hate them. In fact, I want them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm for them, not against them, in the sense that I want them to come to know Christ, not for what they're doing. I'm for them as people and creations of God, and I want to see them give their life to Jesus, repent, all that stuff, be free. But that guy right there, he is preaching the word of God incorrectly. That is the definition, my friends, when you ask, who are the false prophets the Bible are talking about? That guy is a false prophet. And I have no problem saying that, because he is a false prophet twisting the scriptures.
He sure is.
Would you like to comment on anything with that before I look at this?
I'll say afterwards. Actually, I'll say it now.
Okay.
The guy says, I just caught it listening to it for like the third time. The guy says that Lazarus was in the tomb, in the cold, dark tomb, left for dead. He was dead.
Like actual.
Like actual, not breathing, dead.
Like he stank when he came out of the tomb.
Oh my gosh.
But like, let's read the account. So John 11, verse 17 says, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days." Not the closet, the tomb. No, in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. I'm going to skip to verse 5. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" What a wonderful passage of scripture for Jesus to tell us about eternal life, that we'll live forever with him, and not about coming out. She said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." So, okay, verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 years." See, because like actually dead. Again, once again, let us emphasize this. He stank at this point. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on the account of the people standing around me, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." So Jesus raised this guy from the dead and he says, "Lazarus, come out." And you know what he doesn't come out with? He doesn't come out with a rainbow flag wrapped around his, you know, chest or whatever. And he's like, "Thank you."
They weren't rainbow burial cloths.
No, no. It has absolutely nothing to do. It doesn't even have anything. You know what actually doesn't even have anything to do? Doesn't have this specific text does not have anything to do with that at all in the positive or negative sense.
No.
It's just not.
No.
Coming out was a term that was invented 2,000 years after the Bible was finished being written. Right. It's like, how do you arrive at that conclusion?
You can come out of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Come out of the car.
Yeah.
Come out of the house.
It's like if I said to Ben, hey, are you going to come out of the car? Does that mean that I was encouraging Ben to come out in that way? Absolutely not. Jesus was raising him back from the dead, and he was giving him a command. And this is how the devil works. The devil latches on to this nonsense. And that was not of God. That was a false prophet speaking. And if he doesn't repent, God will hold him accountable for that. But this was a bold, authoritative command of Jesus to Lazarus. Come out. That's what it was. Come, or actually, time out. In some translation, it's come forth.
Right.
In other words, come forward.
Come forward from the closet.
My God.
Yeah.
My God, goodness sake. It's God help us. This is a powerful moment of the scriptures that this guy is trying to use. Next video.
Okay. You want to do this one?
I don't want to do that one. I'm going to save that one for another time.
Let's do this one.
Ago, I started a challenge to find a new church, and the premise was to go watch a new one every Sunday until I found one I liked. I wanted a church that was welcoming to everyone, more modern and with the times, and actually puts on a good service. Week one, I watched Social Dallas, but ironically, they had a guest pastor, and I liked him so much that I decided to watch his church the second week.
Let's stop here. First problem in this video. I want to find a church that is relevant with the times and puts on a good service. Hmm. Like it's a show.
Right.
This is the problem in America these days, is that people want to be entertained. They don't want to encounter God anymore. It's church has become more about getting entertained and feeling good when you leave than hearing the word of God in truth and in power. The job of the church is not to make you feel good or feel like you were entertained when you leave. The job of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to teach and disciple people to continue to grow in their faith and do something for God. The job of the church of Jesus Christ is to do and teach what the Bible says. And that was the other thing she said. What did I say the first part was? Relevant with the times. Do you mean by that the seats are like relevant with the times, which I would understand? Do you mean that the decorations are relevant with the times? Or do you mean that the Bible is relevant? You're trying to make the Bible relevant with the times. Mm. Major issue right here.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
All right, let's keep going.
Week, and now I like that church so much, I stopped the challenge altogether. I'm not someone who grew up religious, and I definitely identify with the label spiritual a lot more, but I've spent the last 2 years really prioritizing diving into my own belief system and figuring out what I believe at my core, independent of anyone else. And I've found that that's sort of a mix of Christianity and a broader spirituality. Taking the time to figure out what you believe in is honestly so powerful, and I'm so glad I did. I'm at a point now where I feel really secure in my belief system, and that's such a good feeling.
I just smacked that Bible against my head for the second time.
I think when she goes to stand before the Lord, he'll say, "Didn't know you," and she'll say, "But I was a mix. I was a mix."
As if you're half Italian, half half, you know, whatever. I think when she stands before God, she'll say, "Can I come into heaven?" And God will say, "You can watch online."
That's good. That's a good one.
Because that's the other thing that I didn't get about this. I've been searching for a church that, like, it's like, wait, time out. You're watching online. What do you mean you've been searching for a church that's relevant with the times and puts on a good service? So you want to basically sit on home and watch a laptop. The other thing is, what is with this new, like, spiritual? Yeah, I'm spiritual. Like, I'm very spiritually. Here's something funny. You're actually not spiritual at all if you're not a Christian, because you're spiritually dead to God. So there's not much to be spiritual about. I was like, what in the world? And then she, what did she say? She said, I forget what she said. She said that, oh, This is the other thing that ticked me off that she said. And it's sad that she's saying all this. I'm trying to figure out what I believe independent of anybody else. It's like, yes, you have to come to a point of belief for yourself in Christianity, but Christianity, real Christianity, and I don't know, she says she's a mix, which is not possible to be a mix. Ben, why isn't it possible to be a mix of Christianity? You go ahead and take this one. Why is that not a possibility that I can't be a half Christian, a part Christian?
Because the call of a Christian is to give up our own way and follow Christ.
Right.
And so how can you follow Christ and something else? This has been something that you've talked a lot about recently, is that God is a jealous God, and right. that he doesn't like to share our heart. He wants a heart fully committed to him and fully devoted to him. And you can't be doing that if you're, you know, a mix of Christianity and whatever else. It doesn't work. It's all or nothing.
Right. I'm trying to think of an analogy of like how you can't be like
human and an animal. Not where you were going.
Some would disagree, but that's a really good point. It's like, wait, so you're like human, but you're also an animal or something like that. The only person that was ever, well, and he wasn't even half. Jesus was fully man and fully God at the same time. Right. So it's like, it's like, I don't understand how because this is actually, I do understand. This is the Christianity that's being taught in America, that this half Christianity, people won't say it, but they'll say, you know, they'll suggest the idea that Christianity through, and it's not, and you have to understand, when I say that people say this, what I mean by that is that they suggest it by the way that they speak and preach about different things.
Right.
Where, you know, we understand if, you know, some weeks, like, you know, of the month, like, you know, it's just not good timing for you to come to church and stuff like that because you have this going on, that going on. You know what you're telling people? When you tell people it's okay to miss church some days, you know, as long as you come once or twice a month, you're teaching people that you could be half Christian. That's what you're doing. That is what is happening when people teach that. And that's not the call of a Christian, as you pointed out. The call of a Christian is, if any man wants to follow me, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. It is a dying to you and saying, Jesus, it's your way or the highway.
Yep.
That's it. It's my way or the highway.
Yep. That's it.
So this is sad for this girl. And obviously, she has to make her own choices and stuff. But I would not be surprised to hear that there has never been a real pastor in her life that has taught her what the truth of the Bible is. I mean, maybe there has been, I could be wrong, but if there isn't, I have compassion upon her for not knowing the truth of God's word. If there was, I mean, that's her choice at that point to not obey it, but sad. Sad.
Makes me sad too, because like people trying to be half Christians, like, just obey the Bible and just right. do what the Bible says. And the great thing about it, Jesus said, my commands aren't burdensome.
Right.
My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Like, it's not a bad thing to be a fully devoted, God, my heart is yours, everything I am, everything I have belongs to you, Christian. That's the best.
Right.
It's sad.
And to add to your point.
Keep going. It's worse being half in, half out.
I was literally just going to say this. Why? Go ahead. Elaborate on
it. It's so much worse being half in, half out. Why? Because then you don't actually have a relationship with God where you've given yourself to him, where you know that you love him and he loves you. And then you're just part of a religion that just teaches, and you just feel like you just have to follow all the rules, when really that's not what it is at all. It's way better to just be all in than to be half in, half out.
Right. It's all the rules without the, well, it's really not, because people can just pick and choose
right,
at that point. That's
it,
follow.
Yeah.
But it's all of the religion in a negative sense, because like I've said before, Christianity is a religion. Religion is not always a bad thing, but it's all of the religious practices without any of the blessings or relationship that comes with it.
Right.
It's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point? Next video.
All right.
I'm going to eat tuna for dinner tonight.
Well, since you said that.
What?
When I feel shame about eating food, eat it anyway. When I gain weight, what should I do?
That's crazy.
You know what? If that's the attitude that they're going to have about that, like where it's like, I can just eat whatever I want, do whatever I want. If they gather again in a year, that room is collapsing, bro. You're going to need a bigger venue. That's preposterous.
That's crazy.
Go back and watch our podcast last week if you don't know why that's a problem. Dude, that is so funny. The whole like inner healing, like come and like get healed of like, what is that? My relationship with my body. Hmm. That's a good one. That was a good one. Thanks for pulling that one up. No, I appreciate it. You just have like, I won't say that.
Like, you know, don't throw your scale away. Listen to your scale sometimes.
Yeah, like maybe if your scale projects a number that you don't like, maybe don't take the advice that you were given. What should I do? Nothing.
That's
maybe
what's
do something.
Crazy.
Maybe do something.
That's what's crazy too. Like it almost like doesn't relate. Like you're just gonna do nothing.
The whole body shaming thing where people are like so against it. I'm not for like going up to somebody and being like, no. Hey, like you're just absolutely the fattest person I've ever seen. Like I'm not for that. That's just mean. Yeah. Like to be like, hey, you're fat. Like you don't say that to somebody either. But also I am not against this. If somebody were to come up to me and tell me, Pastor Joey, like, you know, and they were overweight, I really think that I need to take my health more seriously and like lose some weight. I would say to them, I think that that's a good idea. And people in like communities would be like, well, that's body shaming. No, I just don't want them to die of obesity at the age of, you know, 40.
It's actually like caring for that person's body.
Well, imagine.
Not shaming that body. Yeah. I want it to not die.
Exactly. It's like, you know, and the thing is it's like, yeah, like I understand that there's also something to be said about the fact that, yeah, some people have a different type of appearance than other people. But I feel like people take that too far. They're like, you know, oh, some people just have a bigger appearance. It's like, yeah, not that doesn't mean that you can be 350 pounds and just claim that you have a bigger appearance. You know what I mean? It's like, man.
It's not that much bigger.
I don't get that type of stuff. Go back and watch the podcast last week if you need help with that because, and it's sad. Gluttony is an addiction just like anything else, and Jesus can set you free from that too. Is there any other videos?
I don't know if it's really worth watching. You want to watch it quick? It'll be the one.
Have I seen it?
No, you haven't seen it.
Sure, it'd be fun.
Okay.
And if we don't like it, we'll cut it.
Sure.
But at the same time, like I'm like, who is telling these people about Christ? You know what I mean? It's just like people need to these people that hop on these podcasts and that hop on, you know, Instagram and say these things, they're just ignorant. They don't know the truth of God's word, or at least maybe they did at once and they fell away. I have no idea. But we got to get out there and tell people the truth, because if we don't get out there and tell people the truth, all they have is this phone right here to be able to scroll through on TikTok and scroll through on Instagram and come up with TikTok theology about what they believe about God and all that type of stuff. And that's just a bunch of a foolishness. So, yeah, it's sad, man.
It is sad.
But nonetheless, thank you for tuning into this week's edition of the Uncanceled Podcast. We had a little crumble cookie. We had some real reactions. We had some funny ones. We had some serious ones. And it was a good time. I enjoyed myself, and I hope that you come and join us again next week on the Uncanceled Podcast. God bless. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.